This is the Everything Podcast. A group of four guys who play video games together and decided to make a podcast. Listen to them on a long commute at work, while you're jogging, or just sitting at home. So, put on some headphones, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Every Fucking Thing podcast, where you guess that we talk about every fucking thing, but it's a little bit past it, but happy May 4th, everybody. May the 4th be with you. Welcome to Star Wars episode, as if we haven't had one before, but it just felt...
Yeah!
It just felt fitting. It just felt fitting, you know? You know, how you guys doing tonight? How y'all doing?
Really great.
Really great.
Yeah, dude, I'm fucking stoked. I mean, unfortunately, we can't go into the in-depthness of Star Wars because, not going to mention any names, our producer Ed hasn't really divulged himself into the realm of galaxies far away like we have.
Way to call me out. Okay, fine. I'll just watch nothing but Star Wars this whole weekend.
All right, bet. You said it. You got to do it now.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll do it throughout the week then as well.
I expect you to watch every fucking episode of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, God. One weekend. Let's go.
One weekend. Well, technically, I got a week.
All right. Well, yeah. So as you guys know, we've already done a Star Wars episode, but it just kind of felt fitting to do another one. And I promise you, this is not just a an Aliens and Star Wars podcast. But yeah, here you go. Here we are. Raw and uncut for you guys. Mm. Like Alexis, Texas. Yeah. Here we go.
Ooh. Damn, whoa, hey.
Give me the shivers, spine tingler.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, hey.
Yeah, so for those of you who aren't aware, because you guys weren't here, we picked a random episode. We put a 1 through 9, a random number generator, and it just so happened to be number... Anybody?
Six. Yeah.
Number 6.
Return of the Jedi.
Sweet. So, you know, I'm going to just put you on the spot right now. Ed, what you think? What you think about Return of the Jedi? Where does it rank?
Wait.
Hold up.
Wait. Whoa.
I'm going to see how much Ed has actually divulged before we start breaking it down into Return of the Jedi. Okay. So I'm going to go around. We'll start with Miller. Then we'll hit Ed, then we'll hit me, and then we'll hit Boom to wrap it all up. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm down with that.
Now, in your opinion, what was the best? It could be happiest, it could be saddest, could be like most badass moment in Star Wars history. That be TV shows, that be movies, that be comic books, just whatever you guys want. So Miller, let's start it off with you, my dude.
Shit, man. It's a pretty simple answer, but this is based purely off nostalgia. As fans of the podcast may or may not know, I'm a huge fan of The Mandalorian. Not just the series, but the Mandalorian lore. The lore of Mandalore, as I like to call it. But the ending of season 2 of The Mandalorian. Oh, man. That was a tearjerker. Just pure. It was just pure.
Pure fucking happiness.
I don't know how I felt about it, but it's great. It's great. That's the best way I can put it. It's kind of hard to put it in words, but like I said, the nostalgia aspect hit me. I grew up on the Star Wars stuff, and seeing what you saw, without trying to put out too many spoilers here, man, that was a tearjerker. And if you don't think it's a tearjerker, you're a fucking nerd.
Yeah, you're not a nerd for watching it and crying.
Not at all.
You're a nerd for not watching it and not crying.
Exactly. Thank you, Darian.
You're welcome. All right. Ed boy.
Oh, shit. I'm on the spot now.
Yeah, man.
Well, for me, it was when they rescued Han Solo from Jabba Hutt's palace.
Okay, that was a little bit more than I expected from you. Good job.
Same.
Yeah. Wow.
Whoa.
Because I also like the portrayal that Family Guy did in their little Star Wars poverty thing.
Yeah, you fucked it up. If you'd have just left that fucking, you better do yourself a favor and cut that out.
No, I got the best thing for him.
No. You don't boo me.
I will boo you. How dare you?
How dare you?
All right. So for me, this moment was a tearjerker for more sad reasons. But I don't know if any of you guys ever watched Star Wars Rebels, given it was it was cartoony. It was a lot of the diehard Star Wars fans may steer away from it, which you shouldn't, because it's a huge part of Star Wars lore. But for me, it was when Ahsoka fought Darth Vader, but at that moment she sensed that it was Anakin, because she didn't know until then that Anakin had become Darth Vader.
Those of you who didn't know, Ahsoka or Anakin was pretty much her trainer.
Is their master. They were master and Padawan.
That one hurt on a personal level.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, she survived Order 66. And then fucking
her master. Man, could you imagine? All right. Well, yeah, without delving too deep, because there's
I'm about to get started. Jacob, let's hear it.
My personal favorite is the Revenge of the Sith. Don't do it, Anakin. I have the high ground scene. It's just the start of so much and the end of so much at the same time.
You were like my brother, Anakin.
Yeah. And it just shows how much Obi-Wan has learned over the years. Because obviously Anakin's going to do the same thing he did against Darth Maul, right?
Yeah.
And that's why he's telling him, don't do it, Anakin. I have the high ground.
You know, and that, without diving too deep, you know, that's another heartbreaking scene for me. Just because you see a man who's gone through so much, the most powerful Jedi, arguably, gone through so much in his personal life. So where he's drawn between these two things, the second woman he's ever loved, and honestly, the right thing to do. But yeah, that just shows the human aspect in all of this. It's great.
Revenge of the Sith was my favorite movie.
You could say he's
favorite Star Wars movie.
Gone so far to lose it all, and in the end, it really doesn't matter. Nothing.
Well, I would say he got nothing. He got the Force Ghost. So,
yep.
That's pretty cool.
This is not delving too deep here. We're keeping it very general. And Darian, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be very hard for me and you.
I'm giving you guys free range here to go as deep as you need to in Star Wars.
Do you want me to tell about my tearjerker in Star Wars?
Yeah, let's hear the tearjerk.
It was when Jar Jar got his tongue stuck on
the pod racer. He's muted. He is muted. I'm muting his ass the rest of the fucking podcast.
I did it. What are you gonna do about it? You can't ban me. I'm the star of the show. You're fired. That's the best thing.
You get crickets.
All right, calm down.
But actually,
calm down, Trump.
You want to?
You're fired.
Wrong. You were all wrong. I actually want to know my real tearjerker.
Let's hear it.
Is when Anakin's mother died. Spoiler.
There's a lot of spoilers. There should be a massive spoiler warning. We need to get a sound. It's like spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning. There you go.
I was just wondering at the beginning of the episode. I was just wondering that because like Tyler was talking about the end of Mandalorian season 2, and it's like we have our wonderful Ed here, who's our wonderful editor, and Ed the editor,
Ed the editor.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And like he could just put a spoiler in the edits after this episode, before that.
I'm still learning. Okay.
All right, back. Well, you back to job. The subject at hand, episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, how can we start this off? Let's see here. Okay, let's do this. Darian, just because I know you're a fellow fan, episode 6, what was your favorite episode? What was your favorite scene, I should say?
My favorite scene? That's tough. Honestly, probably the redemption of Anakin Skywalker at the end.
Yeah.
That was another tearjerker scene too, but we'll explain that and, once we get towards the end.
You know, that brings the whole Force Ghost thing back into, I think that really kind of allowed him, that moment allowed him to accept the fact that, you know, he was wrong and that he can teach future Jedi in the true ways of the Force rather than the Sith.
It's just the scene when he's like, take my helmet off so I can look upon you with my own eyes.
That was an ugly motherfucker. Let me put that out there right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looked like your character from, what was that game? 7 Days to Die that we played? He looked like that character.
He looked like fucking... he looked like fucking Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah.
Like a fucking Cinnabot.
Okay.
Like that was not a pretty sight.
Jacob, what about you, buddy? What was your favorite scene of episode 6?
Oh, there's so many, but my one is Boba Fett. Boba Fett, where? And then he hits him in the Sarlacc pit because he's Boba Fett, and he's like that all-powerful bounty hunter, and he just gets
that
hit.
Triggers me so much as a follower of the Mandalore. He's like, Boba Fett was a badass motherfucker. He's like, oh no, fuck you, you're going to the Sarlacc pit. No,
pretty much. That's what that scene's so comical to me. Just like Boba Fett. Where?
It's like the Jar Jar of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
That scene itself.
But better than Jar Jar.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a huge hater of Jar Jar, but there's a certain point. Absolutely. Darian, what's your thoughts on Jar Jar? I'm just curious. So I
already know that.
I literally think Jar Jar is the bane of all Star Wars.
Do you think he's a Sith Lord?
No. I think he's the fucking biggest waste of a character that I've ever seen. Like, everything. I don't like Jar Jar. I don't like the fucking Gungans. I don't like any of that fucking shit. That it's so stupid that when that fucking thing's talking to Jar Jar and he just goes, like, that just, like, pisses me off. Like, I literally...
Even bigger than Finn?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd rather fucking watch a Finn solo movie than watch episode 1 of The Phantom Menace because of Jar Jar. Okay.
Oh, really? Shit.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, whenever I watch The Phantom Menace, I literally probably skip from when they find Jar Jar all the way to where they fight Darth Maul. Like, because I skip all that shit because it's all Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, no, that was a poor attempt at comical relief. I will say that. Yeah,
it's one of those things where it's so bad it's good.
All right, Z, or Ed, good old Eduardo. What's your favorite scene?
Definitely for me, the fight between Darth Vader and Luke.
Yeah, no, I think that's the biggest one there, just because of the whole conflict of not just Luke but Anakin's whole story. Now that at this point, I would assume we all know it. It's a heartbreaker. Don't get me wrong, but yeah.
So let's start this off with a character breakdown. We're not going to hit everybody because there's shit to
make people in this movie. Breakdown.
So just starting right off the bat, we have Mark Hamill, of course, as Luke Skywalker.
The good Mark Hamill, not shitty Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Yeah, not Disney Mark Hamill. You have the ridiculously handsome Harrison Ford as Han Solo.
Dude is handsome.
Handsome as all hell, yeah. Especially in whenever he plays Indiana Jones. That's my kind
just
of
just don't have
Ford.
Mr. Pilot because he'll land on the taxiway. Severin way.
Oh, yeah.
True.
I thought he landed on a golf course.
But that too, but... He definitely flew over a jetliner to land on a taxiway instead of a runway.
Oh. Then you have the late, great, always beautiful Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia.
Beautiful woman.
Billy Dee Williams as Lando.
Great, great, and great man.
Anthony Daniels as C-3PO. Peter, the late, great Peter Mayhew as Chewbacca.
Don't get me started on Peter Mayhew, dude.
Yeah. Man, whenever I went to Galaxy's Edge the first time, I waited in every single character line in Star Wars to meet all of them. And I really, really just was like hoping that Chewbacca would take off his mask and it was going to be Peter Mayhew under there.
Yeah, man.
That would be sweet.
Oh, dude, I would shit my Star Wars panties.
Hold on. Star Wars panties. What did those look like? I'm just curious.
They got little R2-D2 and C-3PO's on them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, okay, going back on comical relief, what do you guys think of C-3PO versus our boy, what's his name? Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, that's him.
Oh, I'd take C-3PO all day.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather watch a whole C-3PO movie.
I would rather watch the Star Wars fucking holiday special.
I'm asking your opinion on this more specifically.
Was C-3PO a Sith Lord? I think not.
You never know that.
No, he's a robot. He speaks differently, which is...
He's definitely a robot.
He crossed the Han Solo line and he told him the odds, and you never tell Han Solo the odds.
Literally, as Jacob is talking, the drink I'm holding in my hand is boiling. Like it's that frustrating.
He's so infuriated right now.
I have freedom and it makes me feel good.
Well, okay, here we go. This is kind of throwback to episode 2 here. But what's y'all's overall favorite character of Star Wars?
Like in any Star Wars thing?
Any. Well, okay, let's keep it limited to the original movies. The 9 movies. If you say Finn, I'm going to be upset.
No. Badassness, I would say Boba Fett. But
You wouldn't even go as far as putting Donnie in there? Like, come on, he was fucking Ip Man. No, he was in fucking Star Wars.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Rogue One is a very underrated Star Wars movie. I also believe that the Solo was an underrated Star
Wars
movie.
Absolutely. No, Solo is one of my favorites. Absolutely.
But
I enjoyed it.
Overall favorite character, I would probably have to say Darth Vader, like through the whole, just because.
Now, do you say Darth Vader or do you say Anakin Skywalker? Because I feel like those are two completely different characters in the pure movie format.
They are. And I'm going to bring up a question later on about that. That'll really make you fucking guys think. But I'm going to say Darth Vader. And mainly because it's no secret that Hayden Christensen was kind of, I'm not going to say a lackluster actor in those movies, but...
this is controversial because I completely disagree with you on that.
No. But listen, I am basing that strictly on the director.
Okay.
I'm not saying it him as a person, but the lines and all that stuff from the director, producer, whoever, writer was made it seem very lackluster. Now, I feel like they really turned him loose and let him act in Revenge of the Sith, which is why it's my favorite one.
Yeah, no, and I think in episode, what was it, 4 or 5? No, 1, 2, and 3, or 1, 2 specifically. I think we saw great character development on his character. 3 was a little cheesy, I will say. It is my personal favorite over 6, but... just the character development that we saw through him as an actor.
Yeah.
Not the character. As an actor, he did what he could with what the role he had. And that was, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He did a good job for what he was given. He did a good job.
Yeah. Which is why I'm extremely excited to see him don the Darth Vader armor in the Obi-Wan series.
Don't even get me started on the Obi-Wan series, man. We're going on the original movies here, though. we're not going to the Mandalorian as much as I want to go there, but
That'll be another episode on its own.
I will be talking. It'll be 90% of me talking on the Mandalorian episode, just to let you know.
So let's start the movie. You turn it on, you get it going. Return of the Jedi takes place a year after Han Solo is captured by Boba Fett. He's frozen in carbonite. C-3PO and R2-D2 are sent to Jabba the Hutt's palace on Tatooine because Luke sent him there to basically make a trade bargain to rescue Han.
Oh, it wasn't a trade bargain by any means.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And I say trade bargain in quotations. So Princess Leia disguised herself as a bounty hunter and took Chewbacca with her because she was going to make it look like that she captured him. She releases Han from the carbonite and is caught and enslaved. And then Luke arrives. Well, let me rewind that back. This is where we get to see the infamous Princess Leia outfit that was probably on everybody's walls back in the day. And if I wasn't married, I'd probably still have it on my wall, which my wife probably wouldn't care because she likes Star Wars too.
Do it, bro. You know you want
I'm
to.
I'm going to. If I can find a slave Leia poster, I swear to God I will get it.
No balls, Darian, you won't.
It is calling you out.
Yeah, you won't.
I'll do it and I will take a picture of it and I will take a picture with Kiana in front of it holding two thumbs up.
All right. Oh, shit. I'm on it.
Don't worry.
I'm waiting for that picture now.
Okay, you'll see it. But
Pixar didn't happen.
Yeah, Pixar didn't happen.
It'll happen. So Luke shows up, bargains for his friend's release, but Jabba, that fucking slimy Hutt, drops him into the Rancor pit. So on the subject.
Hey, to interject, but you mean the Meg pit?
The what?
Because Meg.
Oh, he's doing a Family Guy reference. And
fuck you.
The Rancor was Meg.
Fuck off. Don't put that shit in here when we're trying to be serious. Fucking booze.
Boo. Don't you dare boo me. Get out of here.
That being said, what do you guys think is the most intimidating monster in Star Wars?
Ooh.
You got the Rancor. Man. You got the, what was it that he found on Hoth? The Wampa?
Yeah,
that was called the Wampa. The Sarlacc.
What was that creature that got Luke in the ice planet?
The Wampa.
Yeah, that
one's terrifying for me.
He cut its fucking arm off.
Are we still going original trilogy or just all Star Wars?
Original trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, are we just sticking in original trilogy? Because there's one creature in Star Wars that I in Fallen Order that terrifies me, and that's just because I'm terrified of spiders.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That big fuck. Yeah, dude.
Those big ones that just ambush you. I'm like, no.
Yeah. And then, that one on The Mandalorian is pretty fucking intimidating. The crate dragon, where he had to help those.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Spoiler. Well, personally, Jabba the Hutt is the most.
Question: Is making fun of Jabba Hutt, is that fat shaming? Because I don't want those groups to get on us again. You know, like last time.
I don't think so because he's an alien.
He's alien shaming.
Alien fat shaming.
Bib Fortuna always kind of creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I always thought Bib Fortuna was kind of creepy.
I did.
He had this fucking, like, these tentacles on his head, and then he had sharp teeth and red eyes.
Also,
it's creepy.
You can't talk about this film without the weird, like, dance scene in the middle of Jabba's palace, you know, like the okay tay tay mo do do a tay.
Oh yeah,
with the blue girl.
Which Star Wars was it when they went in that bar and it had that thing singing? It's like
that's absolutely a genre in Star Wars. It's literally called jizz.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's called jizz. Was that good?
Was that in Return of the Jedi though?
That was in Return. Anytime you walk into a Tatooine, bar, I guess you'd say, or club, it's jizz music. That's lore. That is literally lore.
I know, but you know you're gonna have everybody out there going, "Oh, he said jizz."
This is where I wish I had a Beavis and Butthead soundbite of them laughing.
I gotta create one. I'll create one after this podcast.
Back to the Star Wars.
So back to the most intimidating. What was it? You said creatures.
Creature, yeah.
For me, it's the Sarlacc, dude. Absolutely. I mean,
it's like a bad hentai.
It's like my ex-girlfriend. She was just a pit of teeth.
Oh my God.
Was that pre or post funeral? Oh, I'm just curious.
That was pre-funeral.
Pre-funeral.
Yeah. You know, just that was something. But yeah, that's like, I'm going to just call her that now. I'm going to call her the Sarlacc Pit.
The pit. You bitch, you're nothing but a Sarlacc Pit.
Yeah. Oh shit.
And every Star Wars nerd in the room would instantly be like, ooh.
Could you imagine just saying that shit in the middle of, you know, doing the do? Bitch, you a Sarlacc Pit.
I'm going to put my Boba Fett in your Sarlacc Pit, baby.
Ouch. Ouch. Trigger warning.
And this time he ain't coming out.
Damn. But he sure is coming in. Hey!
You get a laugh track.
There you go. All right. So, oh my God. Boba Fett. Let me ask this. What was y'all's opinion on Boba Fett, his betrayal?
He just had that intimidating presence. Like it, and I'm like you, it fucking triggers the shit out of me. The way he was launched into that Sarlacc pit. Like, it fucking triggers me, dude.
Yeah, but Han Solo knew what he was doing, man.
No, he... Hand. My name's Han.
Yeah, he has a hand. He was very handy.
No, he didn't know what he was doing. He was blind as fuck, and he got lucky.
No, because Chewbacca was telling him Boba Fett was there.
Yeah, but he didn't know where.
Where was that Lando? I forget... No, it was Chewbacca's. They were like stumbling on the ground.
Listen, this man did not run the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs just for you to call him. Hand Solo.
You know what? You know what he gets? That's what you get.
No, boo me.
Yeah, get out of here.
Handy, man.
One thing I've never understood when it came to Star Wars, though, is how they understand droids, like when C-3PO is not there.
That is a good point.
Have you noticed that, like, R2-D2 yeah. like, beep, beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 and Luke would be like, you're right, but we have to do this first.
All right, R2.
I just kind of overlooked it as, like, it's just Luke doing, like, some Force thing and, like, being able to understand him.
That's a great point. Because, okay. This is going purely off of, you know, just thought here. But Force translation. Darren, you might be a little bit more, you know, accustomed to this, but is Force translation a thing?
Force translation. I believe so. Let me
Google that real quick.
I'm not going to say. Yeah, let me hear the typing. Yeah, let me look. Force translation. Let's type in Force translation.
For anybody who's curious, Force in French is obligé.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. So let me give you a fandom thing on Force translate. Okay. Force translate was discovered by Seknos Lanith, its only user, and it is only mentioned in his holocron. Lanith had an extraordinary skill to calm animals and aliens alike, and this can be attributed to Force Translate. It was used to negotiate with Yuuzhan Vong, and Lanith frequently spoke with them. This Force Translate was a force power that allowed the user to speak to any kind of being. When the user spoke, the words were translated from whatever language one was speaking to a language the other being could understand. This worked with any species and animals as well. And it also worked the other way, converting whatever that being said to a language the user could understand.
Okay.
Never mentions droids.
And to kind of piggyback off of that, I just literally Googled how did Jedi understand droids? And it says all droids speak in a understood binary language. Same language that R2 uses.
Like Morse code.
Well, no, it's binary. So it's like 0001001011100, like that kind of thing. And
so everyone in that universe is just smart as hell.
That's common knowledge, apparently. Okay. Interesting.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
What did you learn today?
Nothing.
The more you know.
So back to the story. Story time, kids, gather around. So, Jabba drops Luke through to the Rancor pit. After Luke kills it, Jabba sentences him, Han, and Chewbacca to death by being fed to the Sarlacc. Now, history on the Sarlacc. That Sarlacc actually has a name, and in some comic books, Boba Fett actually developed almost like a psychic link with it and could talk to it and understand it. I can't remember off the top of my head the name of the Sarlacc. It was something fucking bizarre. But that was in one comic book. And then there was other ones where he fought his way out, but other ones say he talked his way out of it. So Luke hid his new lightsaber inside R2-D2, which Return of the Jedi Luke's lightsaber is my favorite lightsaber in Star Wars ever.
Yeah, it's cool.
So, and I think I like it because I really like Obi-Wan's. I don't know. There's something about the fucking thin top and I don't know. And it's green, which green's my favorite lightsaber color.
Have you seen the deleted scene where he creates that lightsaber?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's a whole thing right there about the creation of lightsabers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole episode.
We could literally do a whole episode. I would say a whole episode on lightsabers. And what the colors mean, who built them, what it means when you built them, all that shit. But
the different fighting styles, all that.
Purple's the best color.
So Luke frees himself and his friends, and they battle Jabba's men during the chaos. I like how it says Boba Fett falls into the Sarlacc pit. But then it says Boba falls into the Sarlacc pit after Han inadvertently damages his jetpack, which goes to the whole Boba Fett, and then he turns with the lightsaber and strikes his backpack, and then you get the infamous yell.
So this is an interesting thing.
The Wilhelm scream.
Mandalorian armor, right? Mm-hmm. Beskar steel. Mm-hmm. Literally, like it lightsabers cannot penetrate it. Well, it makes you think of Sarlacc. No. Can even injure Boba Fett, and I'm trying not. Yeah. I'm not trying to get on a caveat here, but I'm reading it right here. It's
a movie, Tyler.
I know.
Yeah. I think the Sarlacc spit it out because it couldn't digest it, and then that's how Cobb Vanth got it. He found it.
Well, that would make sense. Yeah, but. I mean, it takes a long time for a Sarlacc to digest somebody. Thousands of years.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Thousands of years. So they don't have to eat that often. But so after that, Leia strangles Jabba to death with her chains, and the group destroys Jabba's sail barge and escapes.
Badass scene, I will say.
Yeah, it is.
Minus the Boba Fett thing, but we'll get back to that.
As the others rendezvous with the Rebel Alliance, Luke goes back to Dagobah to complete his Jedi training with Yoda. And then that's where, unfortunately, he finds out that he is dying. Yoda then confirms that Darth Vader, once the Jedi Knight Anakin Skywalker, is Luke's father and reveals that there is another Skywalker before vanishing and becoming one with the Force. Obi-Wan Kenobi's Force ghost then tells Luke that Leia is his twin sister and that he must face Vader again to finish his training and defeat the Empire.
And then at that moment, he regrets kissing her.
Yep. Yep, that's true. So, The Alliance learns that the Empire has been constructing a second Death Star under the supervision of the Emperor, Palpatine. As the station is protected by an energy shield, Han leads a strike team which includes Luke, Leia, and Chewbacca to destroy the shield generator on the forest moon of Endor. Doing so will allow the Rebel fleet to destroy the Death Star. The team uses the stolen Imperial shuttle to arrive undetected and encounters a tribe of Ewoks. Gaining their trust after a short little skirmish, Luke later tells Leia that she is his sister and Vader is their father, and that he must confront him.
Can you imagine that was such an awkward conversation?
Yeah. Now, listen, I know we kissed, but we're brother and sister. Unfortunately, I'm not even going to say anything. So, in order to get close enough to Vader, Luke surrendered to Imperial troops. He is then taken to Vader and fails to convince him to reject the dark side of the Force.
So he thinks.
Which you have one of the more...
I wouldn't say he fails to make him, you know, convert.
Yeah, because there's a scene...
planted the seed.
There's a scene there where, you know, when Luke's like, there's good in you, I sense it. And Vader pauses for a split second and goes, yep. It is too late for me now, son.
Yeah.
Did he say son, right? Does he say son there? Or is he like, it's too late for me now?
I think he just says it's either too late for me now.
Son or Luke or just, yeah.
I thought it was son. It's been a couple years. We all need to rewatch. It's been a good 3 or 4 years since I've watched Return. I need to watch it again.
I'm telling you guys, you all get webcams. We'll do a fucking group movie night and watch it.
Yeah, we'll watch
it. I'd be down for that.
That'd be cool. We just do like a... We should also do...
I know how to set up movie night.
And this is another like thing we should talk about. Lord of the Rings. We should do a Lord of the Rings marathon too.
Oh, don't even get me started.
I am down for that. I
fucking love Lord of the Rings.
Star Wars is better, but yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're almost through the movie. So, the Emperor... Oh, Vader takes Luke to meet the Emperor, who intends to turn him to the dark side, and reveals that his friends and the Rebel fleet are headed into a trap. On Endor, Han's team is captured by Imperial forces, but a counterattack by the Ewoks allows the Rebels to infiltrate the shield generator. Meanwhile, Lando takes control of the Millennium Falcon and alongside Admiral Ackbar and lead the Rebel assault on the second Death Star, finding its shield still active and the Imperial fleet waiting for them. If we're naming ship battles, my favorite ship battle is probably in episode 9, when Palpatine is raising all the fucking what was he gonna call it? What was he gonna call it? The new regime?
New Order.
Yeah, the New Order. That was it. And that's when they name dropped that one of the Star Destroyers is called the Revan. And so you think all hope is lost. And then Han Solo Lando shows up and he like brought literally the entire fucking galaxy. That shit gave me chills. It still gives me chills when I watch it. That's like my favorite scene in episode 9. Do you guys have a favorite ship battle?
The Rogue. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. That was rude of me. The Rogue One ship battle. You know when they're trying to get the what was it? The space gate go open or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And then the Hammerhead comes in and is just like. Starts pushing that Star Destroyer into the other one.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's sick.
That is sick. I'll say a close second for me. It wasn't really a battle, but when Obi-Wan was chasing Jango Fett and he was dropping those ion detonators in the asteroid field.
Oh, yeah.
Just the sound that the ion detonators make that and then they fucking shoot out. Oh, God, those things are sick. I use those all the time when I play Battlefront 2.
Shout out to that wonderful game.
Yeah. Dude, is he making Battlefront 3?
Yeah, it's confirmed. It's confirmed at this point. There's been leaks too.
Oh, God, I don't... Okay, branching off from the movies for a little bit. Is there one person...
I didn't get to answer.
Oh, go for it.
That's true.
And this is going back on the nostalgia thing, man. The destruction of the first Death Star.
Luke uses a force.
The photon torpedoes or whatever they're called. Yeah,
dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's just nostalgia.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
It's like, you. All right, what about you, Ed? Luke. And then
that was my same one as well.
That was yours too?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, so Starkiller, that was a good one.
Yeah.
But well, that's not really a space war. But anyways, yeah. Go ahead.
So jumping into the Battlefront boat for just a little while. Is there any specific hero or villain that you guys hope that will be playable?
I'm not saying mine because you're all gonna get mad at me.
Yeah, don't say it. Don't waste your fucking breath. I would be infuriated. I actually think you could place him in one of the old Battlefronts. I can't remember.
That'd be hysterical if you could play as him.
I'm pretty sure you can in the first one, actually. He's not like a Jedi.
Eventually, they'll listen to the podcast and listen to Jacob's plea and just be like, fuck it, we'll add him.
Yeah. All right. So are you legitimately sticking with Jar Jar Binks, or are you going to talk about somebody serious, Bim?
I would hope Starkiller would be in it.
Ooh.
And I hope now, one day he will be canon. Well, he technically is, right?
Oh, God.
Technically?
Because, like, isn't The Force Awakens the big base, Starkiller base, right?
Oh, that's true.
So that's technically him being canon? Question mark?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or is that just Disney being like, hey, look, we're gonna put that name in the movie so people can be like, oh, he's called Starkiller. Oh,
it's probably the same reason they made one of the Star Destroyers the Revan.
Well, I think the fact that they called it Starkiller was just kind of a nod to the lore itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, we said in the previous podcast I would love a Starkiller movie in the main, and not necessarily the main series, but like a spinoff. Like Solo and Rogue One was, but man, don't get me started.
What about you, Miller? You got a specific hero or villain you'd like to play as?
I mean, honestly, Starkiller. I hate to kind of piggyback, but I mean, dude, Starkiller. Do I need to say less?
Okay. Well, what about you, Ed?
Okay.
To be Mandalorian, man.
Come back to me. I got to think about this. Right.
Well, you don't think it'd be pretty badass running around as Mando?
I think it'd be pretty cool.
He's got badass armor, man.
I think that's going to happen. Yeah,
you think they'll throw Mando in there?
Throw Mando in there, just based off the popularity of the Mandalorian series.
I know one hero they're gonna put in there, guaranteed. I'm like 90% sure they're gonna put this hero in there. Ahsoka.
I was about to say Ahsoka.
Yeah,
she's definitely in there.
If they don't put Ahsoka in, three people are gonna riot.
Yeah.
Or even just add it as a DLC. You know?
Yeah, I would pay for it. I'd buy the fuck out of that, dude.
I mean, I'm not a big supporter of the Battlefront games. So has Qui-Gon Jinn been in the game yet?
Yeah. I don't think so. Unless he was in the PlayStation 2, like Battlefront, maybe.
I didn't see him when we played Battlefront 2.
He wasn't in Battlefront 2, I know that.
Yeah, no.
Well, I would be a big fan of Qui-Gon Jinn because I think that's how the whole Anakin.
Maybe he was in Battlefront 1? Well, I don't know.
Besides Mace Windu, obviously, Qui-Gon Jinn is my number two favorite just because I think he was the start of the whole Anakin series just because he trained Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan was there for Anakin. He tried his best, obviously. But some things you just can't control, you know?
Let's see.
What about you, Darian?
It's tough. I would like to see them bring back like how they did Battlefront 2 for PlayStation 2, where you could play as like I'm not going to say lesser known Jedi, but like you guys know, you could play as Mace Windu, which I loved. You could play as Ki-Adi Mundi. You could play as Plo Koon. You could play as like all these other Jedi.
Play Kit Fisto too, no?
I don't know. It's been so long since I played it. I got it on PC, but my computer, like the game fucks up on my computer when I play it. But I'm the kind of guy who likes blaster heroes. So I would like to play as Jango Fett.
Don't even get me started, bro. Ooh. Don't even get me started.
The fucking dual blasters. The pew, 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 pew. But that's me. I mean, Boba Fett's cool, and I love playing as Boba Fett on Battlefront 2.
Well, honestly, Boba Fett, Jango Fett had a better story. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, dude, just he was the OG clone, dude.
Oh, Boba. You could arguably say the entire clones was based off Boba, right? But the fact that we don't have a ton of lore on Boba, unless you get into the deep dive stuff with the Mandalore. It's, yeah, I'm not trying to get that deep right now, but yeah, I understand that.
If Battlefront 3 is going to add like this characters from the Star Wars TV shows, like just spanning the TV shows, then I kind of hope they would throw in the Bad Batch. I don't know if you guys have got to watch the Bad Batch yet.
I have not. No.
But it's, I fucking loved the Bad Batch. I liked them when they introduced them in the final season for the Clone Wars TV show. So, if you could play as them, maybe not make them like heroes, but make them like an unlockable, almost like a subclass, like how you could have the Republic Commandos in Battlefront 2. Just make them like the Bad Batch, or give me a Bad Batch skin or something. I would be all for it. But okay, so going back to the movie, we're almost through it. So the Emperor then reveals to Luke that the Death Star is fully operational and orders the firing of its super laser, destroying a rebel starship. He tempts Luke to give in to his anger, and Luke attempts to attack him. But Vader intervenes, and the two engage in a lightsaber duel. Vader senses that Luke has a sister and threatens to turn her to the dark side if he does not. Enraged, Luke defeats Vader, severing his hand, and the Emperor retreats. The Emperor entreats Luke to kill Vader and take his place. But pause right there. There was actually a draft that George Lucas did to where Luke did kill Vader and took his helmet and put it on and basically just became Darth Vader.
What the fuck?
That's lame.
Yeah.
Honestly, that'd be lame as shit.
Yeah, it is lame. it is lame. But that was one of that was.
That brings that takes away the whole conflict of the light versus the dark side.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sorry, the Jedi versus the dark side.
So, Luke refuses, and that's where you get the famous, I am a Jedi, like my father before me. Which, yeah. So, then being pissed off, the Emperor tortures Luke with force lightning. Unwilling to let his son die, Vader betrays the Emperor and throws him down a reactor shaft to his death, but is mortally electrocuted in the process. At his last request, we've talked about it previously, Luke removes Vader's mask and the redeemed Anakin Skywalker dies. Where you get the take off my mask so I can see you with my own eyes.
One of the best redemption scenes in the entire series.
Oh yeah, my absolutely. God. Oh my God.
And Jacob said it earlier, it was a tearjerker.
It was, dude. Still is.
No, absolutely. And let me get your opinion on it, buddy. Or Ed.
What was that?
What do you think about that whole scene? As compared to other tearjerkers in the Star Wars series.
It's like, fuck, they called on me again.
I was just listening. Definitely one of the sadder ones for me out of the whole series.
No, absolutely.
So,
because you see you wouldn't see it at this point if it just came out, but seeing the entire, nine movies of the main, storyline, you see the rise, the fall, and the redemption of Anakin Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And arguably, that's the best story not Luke, not the Mandalorian, not Rey. No, it's yeah. absolutely Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader.
And I know I talked to Miller about this previously, but George Lucas's original plan was to have three trilogies. The first one was going to be The Father, which he did because episodes 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, and 6 were going to be about the son. And then 7, 8, and 9 that he wanted to make were going to be about
the Holy Ghost,
the daughter. The Holy Ghost. That's the first thing I thought he was going to say too, was the Holy Ghost or the Force Ghost. But it was supposed to be about the daughter. So the 7, 8, and 9 originally, if George Lucas would have done what he wanted to do with it, would have been about Leia. And so let me ask you guys this to get you thinking. Okay. Cause Kiana asked me this earlier and it really made me think. And I was like, that's a good question.
The guest that's not here. That one.
Yep. Yep. That's the one.
I'm very disappointed.
But she wanted me to ask you guys, who do you think Luke had a relationship with, or had, who was Luke? Yeah, who did Luke have a relationship with?
Like, Luke. I'm sorry, I thought you said Anakin.
No, did he have more of a relationship with Darth Vader or Anakin Skywalker?
Ooh, for me, I'd have to go with Darth Vader.
It'd be Vader.
I'm going to contradict that and say Anakin.
I also say Anakin.
Whoa. Two different opinions.
Yeah, so let's do it. Let's do Z and Boom against Darian and Miller.
So, play the Law and Order team song, please, right here.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Okay.
We can't, because we'll get copyright.
I'll tell you what. Ed, Jacob, let's hear your argument.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jacob, you go first.
It's simple. Luke doesn't really know Anakin. He's Darth Vader by the time Luke is adult and meets him. That side of Vader, like the Anakin's gone by the first interaction we have with Vader. Like, there's just like the scene with the Cloud City scene, like the whole fight there is just literally, I'm a Sith Lord now. I want you to become a Sith. Rule the galaxy with me. Like, also, I'm your father. But, like, I'm a Sith now, and you don't really know me. And, yeah, that's just my take on it. It's just like, Luke really didn't know Anakin until Return. And then by then it was too late, I believe.
You think it's too late?
I mean, he also has a robotic fucking arm because of the guy, you know? That's got to piss him off, too.
That's going to piss him off, too.
How did this mean?
Okay,
conversation. What did you come up with, Ed?
Okay, so, Darian, I think you're going to go with the same argument that I am. The Force Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, he chopped off Luke's arm. But the fact that he came back as a Force Ghost, back on the Jedi argument, past his, I guess you could say, life, I think that tells you everything you need to know. And that goes back on the whole Anakin reawakening, or whatever we called it. He came back. He realized what he did wrong, and he's trying. Well, not only is he trying to be the father that he wasn't, but he's also trying to tell him, listen, what I did was wrong. These are my mistakes. Please let me help you to tell you what not to do, or to guide you in the right way.
Mm-hmm. And it's too late.
Along with Yoda and, what's his name? Help me out, Darian.
Obi-Wan.
Help me out, Darian.
Obi-Wan.
Qui-Gon Jinn. Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah, Qui-Gon.
And that's my argument.
So here's the thing. If you notice, if you watch, okay, Yoda and Obi-Wan never talk down about Anakin.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
They And so with Obi-Wan telling Luke about him without saying it's his father, and the way Yoda talked about him, also up until Return of the Jedi, not telling him that it's his father. And I feel like Luke had built that connection with, wow, this Anakin guy sounds like an awesome person, a good guy, you know, he was the best Jedi, this, that, and the other. And then you get to this scene when the Emperor is almost to the point where he's going to kill Luke, and then Darth Vader turns back into Anakin Skywalker to save his son and throws him down the reactor shaft, and then the connection is solidified when Luke sees him and hears him say, "Take off my helmet so I can see you with my own eyes." It's a father who genuinely wants to see his son and is trying to make up for all the however many years that he's been Vader in literally, I would say, his dying breath.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but the fact that he threw the one man who he trusted to teach him in the mm-hmm. ways of the Force, pretty much a father to him, mm-hmm. on a whim. Not on a whim, mm-hmm. but he just threw him down a fucking, you know, killed the guy. And yeah. went to this kid that he never met before. Honestly, you never met him up until that point, besides, yeah. you know, the previous battles. But he never knew truly who he was. And, let me ask you this, just for topic of discussion. How do you think he is? Would it be a Force thing where he realized, like, oh, wait, something's going on here? Or was it more of Palpatine acting shady?
On why he threw him down?
Well, why he turned on him so quick.
I think it's because there's a lot that goes into it once you read. Like, I have the advantage of having read the comic book, so I know when Vader is in his suit, he's in constant pain because that pain turns into anger and that anger turns into rage. So he's constantly mad. And that was done purely by Palpatine. Yeah, exactly. So I feel like Anakin or Darth Vader has just, in that time, was reflecting on how much he suffered at the hands of the Emperor. And then he sees his son suffering the same, if not as much as he has, but saw him suffering the way he has. And on top of the fact that it was his son, that kind of, in a way, triggered him to be like, you know, this whole time I could have been, you know, basically looking back on every wrong thing he's done. And so when he betrayed the Emperor and he redeemed himself, that's why at the end you see the Force ghost of Anakin with Obi-Wan and Yoda. And that's a whole nother topic. I broke this down to Miller, and me and Miller were mind blown when we found out about how he became a Force ghost, because it's fucking phenomenal. I'll break it down for them, because I don't know if they know this. So when Anakin died, there was, it literally in 0.5 seconds, it broke it down to 0.5 seconds, the ghost or Obi-Wan came through the Force to Anakin and said, "Listen, if you don't do exactly what I tell you at this moment, you will cease to exist." And Anakin did. Obi-Wan had taught him through the Force how to reanimate, basically come back as a Force ghost, so to speak. And in that 0.5 seconds, Obi-Wan had taught him that. So that way, at the end, he was able to become a Force ghost. Now, I also believe that a lot of the stuff you don't see is after Return of the Jedi, between Return of the Jedi and episode 7, 8, 9, or 7 and 8 more specifically, because that's when Luke's still around. There's no doubt in my mind that he has not communicated through the Force with Anakin Skywalker.
Dang.
I refuse to believe that he never talked to him again through the Force after that, after episode 6. I refuse to believe it. So that's why I feel like he had this connection with Anakin because Obi-Wan and Yoda talked about him and they never talked down to him. So he had built this relationship without actually knowing it was his father.
He was trying to get the law of two, you know, where there's always two Siths. And he was always trying to get Luke to be his apprentice the whole time. And, you know, and he's seen an opportunity to get rid of, you know, the master, and he become the master and the apprentice. And when the shocky get a little bit too much, he was going to die. He's like, oh, fuck, I'll be good now.
No, I feel like he knew he was going to die when he grabbed the Emperor.
Nah.
And I feel like also one of the reasons he wanted Luke to become his apprentice is because that would give him the time to spend as in a fucked up way, father and son.
But that doesn't make it right. Like all the people he's killed,
but I'm just saying in his own fucked up way that was his way of trying to make up for the time that he wasn't around for Luke.
The fact that like he tried, like this person tried to kill like all his friends and everyone he's known. I mean, come on.
I don't know. There's not going to be a yes or no answer to that question. So, all right, we're probably running over time.
Yeah, we're about an hour in already.
But I just also can I just give a shout out to the Rancor, the guy who raised the Rancor, you know, and then
oh yeah, that's true.
And shout out to the bro that gives that dude a hug after his Rancor is killed. He starts sobbing, and the other like alien dude's like, "It's okay, man. You'll raise another one. It's okay." We all need good friends like that dude.
Yeah, yeah, that is very true. So, all right, let's finish up the movie. So the final scene is after the strike team destroys the shield generator, Lando leads the rebel fighters into the Death Star's core. While the rebel fleet destroys the Imperial capital ship, the Executor, Lando and X-Wing fighter pilot Wedge Antilles destroy the Death Star's main reactor and escape before the station explodes. Luke escapes in a shuttle with his father's body, and on Endor, Leia reveals to Han that Luke is her brother. Luke then cremates his father's body on a pyre and reunites with his friends. And as the rebels in the galaxy celebrate the Empire's defeat, Luke sees the spirits of Yoda, Obi-Wan, and Anakin watching over him.
Yeah,
and that, my friends,
yeah,
is Return of the Jedi.
And as the Ewoks are eating the bodies of the stormtroopers.
Oh God, you and your fucked up theories.
Because what else are they going to eat? What else are they going to eat? They were eating meat.
Yeah.
How did they get captured? They were like, Chewbacca saw the meat in the trap.
Have you ever played Ewok Hunt on Battlefront 2? It's the truth.
It is the truth. It's terrifying.
We're going back to our third episode to eat our Ewoks cannibals.
Oh, that would be a whole podcast.
There's a lot of anomalies on the planet.
Planet Endor is a hotspot for anomalies.
All right.
Stormtroopers with blood just drained from their bodies. No wound marks.
Coming
or
at you, SCP-169, the Ewok.
Okay, so to wrap it up, what do you guys rate Return of the Jedi 1 through 10?
7.9 for me.
Okay. All right.
I'll give it a 8.5. Are we talking like movies in general or just Star Wars movies?
No, I mean like
Return of the Jedi.
Out of Star Wars movies, like what do you rate the Return of the Jedi?
So we're going 1 through 9, not 1 through 10.
No, I mean like on a scale of 1 to 10.
Well, I was going to say 8.5, so I'm going to go by Price is Right rules and say 8.6.
And then I'll go 8.7.
That's not how it works.
I'm going to go.
There's always a guy that does higher.
It is true. I'm going to go 8.75. No.
You know that pet peeves me so much when I'm watching Price is Right and I just see the sleaze bag that's like 701.
All right.
And then he looks at the person who did 700 and is just like,
I just want to point out we've gave Darian this shit about being the old man, but now Boom has taken the old man role because he watches
Price is Right. You motherfucker watches Price is Right.
What's wrong with Price is Right? You got Plinko, you got the Yodelay fucking thing, you got the wheel, and then you got
You got the putt-putt, and then you got the cars. You know, you got to match the prices.
Such an old man.
All right, see, this is why we got
to
wrap it up.
That just sounds like a bad trip to Las Vegas, if you ask me.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Or fucking Chinatown.
Ayo. All right,
let's wrap up this podcast.
You know what? I'm going to give it a 9. And I would give it a 10 if it wasn't for the fucking Boba Fett bullshit.
I agree on that one.
But anyways, everybody, thank you for listening to this episode of the Every Fucking Thing podcast, coming at you live from a galaxy far, far away. Unfortunately, the time has come to an end to where the podcast has to end. But fear not, because by the time all is said and done, we will have reviewed and talked about and break down and rumor milled every Star Wars movie to date. Then we got to hit the TV shows. So, that being said, this is the one and only real star of the show, Darian.
Tyler. I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you there. It's Tyler. Hey, fuck you.
Now, let the actual star of the show talk. Yeah,
I like the
laugh
right before that.
Yeah,
you suck.
It was zappy.
But
it was
hey,
great.
all jokes beside, just shout out to our fellow podcast member Ed for going through and editing out every single bit of fan sounds and everything. Keep it up, buddy. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
But as the star of the show, thank you, everybody. We hope you tune in on next week. Y'all have a great evening or morning or afternoon, whatever you're going listening to this. But y'all have a great night.
Yeah.
Good night.
Have a good night, everybody. I love you.
And end it.
What was that, Boom?